Baruch Atah Yehovah, Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Natan Lanu Torah Amet V'Chai Olam B'Tikenu. Baruch Atah Yehovah Natan HaTorah, B'Shem Yeshua Mashikenu Ha'ol HaOlam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of Truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the Light of the World. Amen. Very long reading for the first day of the festival, but it's very important reading. And I'd like to actually share something with you before I give you my drash today, because Yah really spoke to me during my time with him this morning. And my drasha is on our everlasting deliverance. But I actually took notes as he was talking to me this morning. And we read today from Luke 23, verse 46, and Yeshua says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And that, of course, is translated, is English translated. Now, you saw also in that scripture that was on there that it said it came from Psalms chapter 3, 1 to 5, and chapter 31, 1 to 5. And when I was actually reading Psalms 31, 1 to 5 this morning, and I was reading it in the Hebrew. And of course, when you read it in Hebrew, you get a different meaning on the words that we get in English. So Yeshua's last words on the stake are from Psalm or Tehillim 31 and verse 5. And he says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." In other words, divka efakid ruachi. That's in Hebrew. "I commit my spirit" is actually "deliver me, Yehovah, my faithful Yehovah." Afkid is the Hebrew word that is used for the English commit. But it has a far deeper meaning in the Hebrew than it has in the English. The word is much closer in Hebrew to being deposit. "Into your hands I deposit my spirit." We can think of it as a bank deposit. We put money in the bank, we know that we can go to the bank later on and get that money out. When Yeshua deposited his ruach, his spirit, into the Father's hand before, as he was on that stake, as he let go of that spirit, deposited him to die, he knew that he could go back to the Father and get that spirit 3 days later, because he'd only deposited it. And the intention of getting it back is what is the most important part. The English word commit can be used to describe giving something, but it never has a future getting back from it. So there's two different words there. In Hebrew, on the other hand, the unequivocal meaning of this verse is the temporary submission of one's ruach or spirit into the hands of Yehovah, giving it into his custody and with definite intentions of receiving it back. And so to me that made perfect sense that Yeshua spoke from the Psalms, because we know that when Yeshua passed, that the Brit HaShoah hadn't, or the New Testament hadn't been written. And so he uses Old Testament scripture. And Yah supplies us with Old Testament scripture. I was saved and came to know Yeshua through Old Testament scripture, through Psalm verse 40, through Psalm chapter 40. So Yeshua was confident that as he deposited his spirit into his Father's hands, he would surely get it back at his resurrection. And that was proven 3 days later. I just wanted to share that with you, because to me it was, you know, I've been reading my Bible for 68 years. I asked for it for a birthday present when I was 8 years old. And I got it. My parents hadn't given me one before then. And I've read it every day ever since. But even to this day, I receive new things all the time. He always opens up new things. So I just wanted to share that because to me that was important for this time of year. So I want to speak today about Pesach as our everlasting deliverance. And if we go to 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8, please, which we read. And we read last night, get rid of the old hummets so that you can be a new batch of dough, because in reality you are unleavened. For our Pesach lamb, the Messiah, has been sacrificed. So let us celebrate the Seder, not with leftover hummets and the hummets of wickedness and evil, but with the matzah of purity and truth. And we said that at our Passover Seder last night. Passover is all about Yeshua's sacrifice and about our deliverance. Consequently, the word Yehovah admonishes us to celebrate this reality with a genuine and a sincere heart of reverence and worship, taking in the full measure of his grace and truth that the feast points to. Yehovah believes in refreshing our salvation, experiencing our knowledge so that in the world, and that everything from the flesh and the devil can war against, because he wants us to realize that we can look to him, and that within us, his creation within us, will bring us to that remembrance and the practicing of the truth that he's given us. And the biblical feasts are a reminder of that. Biblical feasts are important to be commemorated by not just Jews, but by believers as well. So at this time, the entire Jewish world, as well as many Christians, recognize Yeshua in the biblical feasts when they will be immersed once again in the celebration of Pesach or Passover. It's not about Easter eggs and bunny rabbits. It's a special evening which we commemorated last night, and millions of people from the four corners of the earth engaged in elaborate ceremonies that included scripture readings, singing, dining, and teaching Yehovah's word, all focusing on the saga of a great exodus from Egypt. Yehovah commanded Israel in slide 3, please, in Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 to 3. Observe the month of Aviv and keep Pesach to Yehovah your Elohim. In the month of Aviv, Yehovah your Elohim brought you out of Egypt at night. You are to sacrifice the Pesach offering from flock and herd to Yehovah your Elohim in the place where Yehovah will choose to have his name live. You are not to eat any hummets with it. For 7 days you are to eat it with matzah, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. Thus you will remember the day you left the land of Egypt as long as you live. The Passover feast or Seder is intended to inspire Yehovah's people to remember where they came from and who their deliverer is. It's a time of where we teach our children of the history of where we came from and who Yehovah is. Against the dark background of the oppression, hardships, futility and desperation of slavery, Yehovah's work of deliverance shines brightly, dispensing fresh hope and assurance from one generation to the next. Pesach tells us Yehovah knows our fallen state, that he hears our cries, and that he will come to deliver us. When things go from bad to worse, when all hope is gone, Pesach points to Yeshua. It is only Yeshua who is our salvation. He is our beacon of hope. He is our anchor of faith. It is the testimony of his rescue mission, leading people who are storm-tossed, helpless and lost to a safe harbour. Don't we all need a Passover in our life? Passover reminds us of all of those things every day. And even people in this congregation have suffered from things that just shouldn't happen. You know, broken fingers and broken wrists and things that, accidents that aren't supposed to happen. Ploys of Hasatan to stop people from being able to carry out, especially women that have to prepare the Passover Seder. You know, we've got two ladies here today with their arms in slings. Or if they're not, they should be, probably. But the point is, Yah doesn't want us to fall behind. He wants us to be victorious no matter what Hasatan tries to drive into our lives. When things go from bad to worse, when all hope is gone, we can only look to Yeshua, who is our Saviour. But from the Feast of Freedom is the freedom for what? The key message of Pesach is in the next slide, please. Let my people go so that they can worship me. Israel was set free from Egypt's oppression for the purpose of service and worship. Freedom in this respect is not an end unto itself. Rather, it's a means to a devout life of service and faithfulness so that we are holy as Yah is holy. That's what we've been called to do. In fact, a careful study of the pre-Exodus events in Egypt reveals that the Passover miracle was offered to a people who barely even wanted it. Yes, the children of Israel cried out to Yehovah for help in their affliction, for their concept of help was not that Yehovah had in mind. All they wanted was relief. Relief from the oppression, relief from the slavery. But Yehovah, on the other hand, was accomplishing deliverance. Many of Yah's children are in the same place today, just as they were on Yeshua's day. They expected Yeshua to save them from the Romans. But that's not what Yeshua came on this earth to do. He came to save them from their sin, to give them eternal life. We beg Yehovah for help in our circumstances, while at the same time we resist his deep work of deliverance in our hearts. The message of freedom may be a popular and politically correct in Western culture, but very seldom do the advocates of freedom ever lead those freshly freed into a life of substance and meaning. Often the newly acquired freedom, be it political, economical or ideological, merely open the doors to the next trap. Freedom for the sake of freedom is insufficient. Freedom is but a license to become. The rest is choice. What do we choose to do with that freedom? Once freed from oppression, whatever a person or a nation become is entirely subject to the choices of those people or nations. The nations that Australia has helped to become liberated, such as Afghanistan, Iraq, East Timor in recent decades, and the Gulf Wars, are that very balance today. And I'm just mentioning conflicts that my own son has been involved in, as is obvious to any honest observer. Freedom alone, without taking on the yoke of Yehovah, is not the solution for anybody's problems. In fact, Yeshua warned us sternly that a freed soul which is not filled with Yehovah's Ruach will eventually end up 7 times worse than its original state. Can we go to slide 5, please? In Matityahu 12:43-45, it says, when an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it travels through dry country seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says to itself, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house standing empty, swept clean and put in order. And then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they come and live there. So that in the end, the person is worse off than he was before. And this is how it will be for this wicked generation. So what is true deliverance? As Israel was in Egypt, likewise many are today. We wallow in oppression, in the enemy's grip. We cry out for relief. Jehovah sends deliverance to break our yoke and our tendencies to become enslaved again. But we fuss and complain. Fear of change and loss of the familiar. Jehovah turns up the heat to help us make up our minds. And finally, we are delivered. Almost in spite of ourselves. Some of you might be in this very quandary right now, negotiating with Jehovah how delivered you really want to be. Pray that when you are praying to Yah for relief, that you'll also be made willing to accept his full deliverance, because that is what Pesach is about. True deliverance, as Pesach teaches, does not come without conflict and drastic changes. Newly acquired liberty always calls for responsibility, faith, and accountability. In Israel's case, deliverance from slavery necessitated an initial deterioration of their conditions and extreme changes in lifestyle, location, and priorities. The nation was evacuated overnight with its 400-year-old roots from the fertile land of Goshen and was driven into an extended wilderness trek. Eventually, true wilderness will lead the liberated souls into purposeful and intentional warfare in order to clear the promised land and take possession of Jehovah's promises, as was the case for Israel in Canaan. Applying these principles to our lives, one can better understand why the Apostle Shaul charged the disciples to celebrate the feast with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He said so knowing that our instinctive carnal tendencies will always follow the path of least resistance, keeping us content with temporary relief rather than genuine deliverance and transformation. Is your Pesach experience one of lasting deliverance, or is it merely temporary relief? The Ruach HaKodesh is not just another fix. But we come to Yeshua, the Lamb of Jehovah. And the historic Pesach, though nearly 3,500 years old, is rich with relevance to those who live today in the reality of Mashiach's work of redemption. The 10 plagues, which were brought down by the Egyptian gods or Elohims, speak of the spiritual warfare that is constantly raging in the heavens on our behalf. Parao calculated the hardness of heart still serves Jehovah's purpose in magnifying the power of Yeshua while drawing his people to his exit strategy. The bitter herbs, the roasted meat, the blood of a perfect lamb, the unleavened bread, the terrible night the angel of death passed over the Hebrew homes, the exodus the following morning carrying Egypt's treasures, and the enemy's last ambush by the Yam Suf, or the Sea of Reeds, all testify to Jehovah's great work of salvation in Mashiach. Ultimately, all point to Yeshua, our great deliverer. Not only is the Passover a defining event in the children of Israel's identity, but is also the core of Yeshua's own calling and mission when he came to earth to save us. Of all of his majestic names and titles, he was prophetically recognized and celebrated as the Lamb of Yehovah, when he first emerged from his hidden life in the Galil and stepped onto the center stage in Yehuda. Immersing the Hebrew nation at the Yarden while preparing the way for Yeshua, Yochanan the immerser saw Yeshua coming down to the river bank and declared in slide 6 in Yochanan 1 verse 29-34. The next day Yochanan saw Yeshua coming towards him and said, "Look, Yehovah's Lamb, the one who is taking away the sin of the world. This is the man I was talking about when I said, 'After me is coming someone who has come to rank above me, because he existed before me, and I myself did not know who he was. The reason I came immersing with water was so that he might be made known to Israel.'" Next slide. Then Yochanan gave this testimony: "I saw the Ruach coming down from heaven like a dove and remaining on him. I myself did not know who he was, but the one who sent me to immerse in water said to me, 'The one on whom you see the Ruach descending and remaining, this is the one who immerses in the Ruach HaKodesh, and I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of Yehovah.'" Led by the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, into his public ministry on earth, the Son of Yehovah revealed himself first as the Lamb of Yehovah, preparing for that great and ultimate Passover. Yeshua identified himself as the Lamb of Yehovah, not only as his initial appearance, appearing by the Yarden, but also as the closing of his earthly mission in Jerusalem 3.5 years later. It was during the Passover Seder meal at the upper room that our Yeshua lifted up the cup, broke the bread, and announced the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant. This was soon to be confirmed in his own person and at his own expense. Next slide, please. In Luke 22, verses 15 to 16, he said to them, "I have really wanted so much to celebrate this Seder with you before I die. For I tell you, it is certain that I will not celebrate it again until it's given its full meaning in the kingdom of Elohim. Although slain before the foundation of the world, according to Revelation 13:8, everyone living on earth will worship it except those whose names are written in the book of life, belonging to the lambs slaughtered before the world was founded." The book of life was written before the world was founded. I believe, because of this verse, that every person's name is written in the book of life until we reject Ruach HaKodesh or Yehovah or Yeshua. How many of my family block their ears if I try to mention scripture, let alone Yeshua? And I believe that it's when they do that is when their name is taken out of the book of life. Not because they haven't yet known him, because many people are never given the opportunity to know him on this earth, and they get that opportunity at the end. The Son of Yehovah had to step through a doorway of space and time to shed holy blood on our behalf at Jerusalem. His sacrificial death was determined from all eternity, but had to take place precisely on the Feast of Pesach in order to fulfill all prophecy and righteousness. It is the blood of Yehovah's own Pesach lamb that delivers us from the ultimate Egypt, our slavery to sin and the curse of death. The lamb is in eternity. The lamb has not disappeared following his death and resurrection. He is in heaven, and his blood is still fresh upon the altar, which is made without hands. Caught up in the Ruach, Yochanan described what he saw, saying in Revelation 5 and verse 13, "And I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and on the sea, yes, everything in them, saying, to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb belong praise, honour, glory and power forever and ever. Even more, not only was the Lamb of Yehovah in the heart of heaven's worship at the time of that vision, but Jochanan further prophesies that he will be there forever. See the holy city in eternity, Jochanan testified in Revelation 21:1-3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had passed away, and the sea was no longer there. Also I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Elohim, prepared like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, see, Elohim's Shekinah is with mankind, and he will live with him them. They will be his people, and he himself, Elohim, will be with them, will be their Elohim. For all eternity, the Lamb of Yehovah lives to make intercession and is the King of Kings. For all eternity, his sacrificial work will continue to be uphold and secure Yehovah's new creation. Pesach, the feast of sacrifice, deliverance and freedom, is our everlasting celebration. This is the season to celebrate Yeshua, our Saviour, and worship him as Yehovah's perfect Lamb. He who brought Israel out of Egypt, sustaining her Pesach, is meant to help us remember, and our Seder is to teach our children to remember. To remember Yehovah, remember his love, remember his faithfulness, to remember Yeshua's sacrificial death at Golgotha, remember his power and his intervention in your life yesterday, and to trust him for tomorrow, as it says in Messianic Jews chapter 13 and verse 8, Yeshua HaMashiach is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. 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 Can I hear an amen?